You can tune in to SDPB TV Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central, 6 Mountain for On Call with the Prairie Doc. That is Dr. Rick Holm, and he is with us today from the Janine Basinger Studio on the South Dakota State University campus. Dr. Holm, welcome back.
Thank you, Lori.
How long has Match Day been going on? Is that
It was going on in 1975 for me.
All right, tell me a Match Day memory.
Well, I opened my envelope and I had my first choice, which was where I had done my second 2 years of med school at Emory, which was a fabulous place to, you know, to get your feet wet, because you had a city-county hospital like Grady Hospital in Atlanta, and then you had the specialty hospital like Emory University Hospital, and then you had the VA flag, hospital as well, and then one other, the Crawford Long Hospital, which was a private hospital. So we had every aspect of the practice of medicine, and the 3 years of residency was fabulous. And it, I got done, and they hired me. So I taught for 3 years there. I could not have had a better experience. It was very fortunate. My second choice was Washington U in Seattle. And I've often wondered if I would have put that. I was really close to putting it as first. What my life would have been like had I made that choice. And I wouldn't have found my wife. I wouldn't have had the four children that we have. And, everything on that match day changed.
Those decisions we make, and some of them are made for us, because yes. You wouldn't have necessarily gotten your first choice. So
yeah, that's right.
All right. And so, how did you come back to South Dakota?
You know, I grew up in DeSmet, and from 5 years old to, 18.
Yeah.
And my roots are definitely here, and my mom and dad are there. I lost my sister in a car accident. I felt like I wanted to come home and kind of hang with them a little bit, but I didn't want to be too close. So Brookings was close. It was between Watertown and Brookings.
Wow.
And my Floridian wife was lovingly in agreement to come to South Dakota. Poor lady.
I doubt she has any regrets about that decision.
Well, maybe a little, but I think she's had, her whole family loves South Dakota, and so it's been a wonderful life, really, for me.
All right, so let's talk about On Call with the Prairie Doc, and the topic for today is going to be
orthopedics.
All right, so tell people what that is exactly.
Well, orthopedics, the word orthopedics, comes from ortho, meaning to bend, and pedics, meaning children. And it really started when they developed a way to bend the feet of club feet of children with deformities. Mm. And bone setters have been, were a separate deal, sort of like barber surgeons. They were all separate from the school of medicine, and bone setters set bones, and they even had a guild, and so the bone setters were separated from medicine, and there was all that sort of criticism between the two. But somewhere along the line, a bone setter's son went to med school and then learned all the bone setting tools, and then taught that in medical school in the 1800s. And then surgery came of its own. The Civil War, we had anesthesia. We didn't have antisepsis. And so we cut a lot of legs off and arms off, because they would die if you didn't. And the theory, they've debated all of this. But if we had known that there were bacteria and done things, mm-hmm. kept things clean, we would have had a lot better result. And we started having great results after Civil War, and all those surgeons who learned how to amputate legs and arms went out back to their little towns and homes and little places throughout the United States, both north and the south, and antisepsis came, and suddenly we had surgeons, and it really sprung us forward because of the Civil War and what we learned. But the bone surgery really evolved in World War One, and we could help people who had shattered bones, and we could use surgical techniques that were with anesthesia and antisepsis, and people did better and better, and it's evolved now to where when you have terrible knees and you can't walk around at 70 anymore because of your football history, you replace the knees and you're a human being again, and you can stay active and mobile and live much longer. And there's a time that you can do those good things because of the good surgery that we have with orthopedics.
All right, so let's talk about making some of those decisions of when that surgery is a good idea and when not to do surgery.
Well, that's a really good question. You know, you think about people with severe back pain. Oh, I've got it's terrible, it's terrible. I've got to have surgery. The answer is really slow to go to back surgery, because most people with chronic back pain, it's chronic pain. It's a different deal. You take a person with chronic pain into surgery and you end up with a person who has chronic pain and now they're disabled because you cut on them. So you've got to be really careful about doing surgery on people with chronic pain. It's a whole different ball of wax. It's just a different condition than the acute pain of a fracture, for example. So back pain tonight will be very interesting to hear Dr. Geisinger and Dr. Luby, you know, expound on when not to do back surgery. I know of one back surgeon who wrote a book. His name is Benson, I think. Wrote a book on back pain. He's a back surgeon, and then he developed severe back pain. And his best treatment was to write every day, to take 15 minutes and write. You've heard that essay that I wrote about writing.
Right. Yeah.
But it's in your inner heart that's what's making chronic pain. And so, you know, you want to use physiology, you want to do, you use a physiatrist, you want to do the physical therapist, there's times for a chiropractor, there is time for acupuncture, there, you know, lots of massage, everything you can do to kind of give it time and let nature heal it, because many times chronic back pain is one of those things that needs understanding and rehabilitation rather than a knife.
So how about those knee surgeries? Because it seems like that is something that's particularly, you know, addressed in the later years, whereas there, you know, knees and hips and shoulders, you know, rotator cuffs and all sorts of things. Talk a little bit more about making some of those choices when you're in your advanced years.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, Lori, that my whole mantra is motion is the lotion, right? You know, movement keeps us alive. If you can walk a mile a day, then your heart and lungs and everything will work. Well, if your knees won't let you walk, then you're a couch potato, and quality of life goes down. Your functional abilities are gone. But if you can keep the knees working, and you can do it before the bone, the muscles, and the ligaments of the knees atrophy and you know, kind of die away, if you can get that surgery before they're gone, so that you have something with which to attach, and you can get back to walking that mile a day, then you've really saved a life. So I used to be Mr. Conservative on all orthopedic surgery. Last thing you want to do is go to surgery. Last thing you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. Now I'm conservative about back surgery or anybody with chronic pain, but I'm quite aggressive for knee surgeries and hip surgeries and shoulder surgeries when people have a life, a functioning life in front of them. And because to live and is to move, and to enhance movement is very important.
So how important is the time before the surgery and the time after surgery when you talk about moving and sort of getting yourself in the right place to make everything work as smoothly as it possibly can?
Right. I had a guy who had a completely frozen knee because he had an accident when he was in his 20s. So he's in his 50s at the time. It's been 10 years since we did. And his hip was getting worse. So I got him to the surgeon to do the hip. The hip was having to move, and it was just so destroyed. And they fixed his hip, and oh, my God, it gave him a new life. It was just remarkable. And I said, well, let's do the knee now. And the surgeon said, there's no muscles. He's not moved his knee in 20 or 30 years. You can't, there's nothing to attach. It won't work. I can make a knee, and it'll just be a floppy knee, and we'll have to put it in a knee stabilizer, and it'll be exactly where it is right now, which is frozen knee. And the point is that you have to use those muscles and get them in strong and in shape before the surgery. And then when you go to surgery, you've got ligaments and muscles to attach to make the knee work. And then when the knee starts working again, those muscles are used to moving and they don't hurt. The most important thing after surgery is to get people moving. They'll go, "It hurts to move." And the answer is, yes, it hurts to move. But if you don't move it, then it's going to always hurt to move. If you start moving it a little bit more at a time, every time, you know, daily, you improve, then you're going to get out of this pain cycle. So those are, you know, we want people pain-free. We want people comfortable. We want them moving. You can do that with rehabilitation. Prehab and post-hab, you know, rehabilitation before and after the surgery.
And to live is to move.
To live, you know, motion is the lotion.
Dr. Rick Holm on Call with the Prairie Doc tonight on SDPB TV. That's Thursdays at 7 Central, 6 Mountain. You can also stream it live on the Prairie Doc Facebook page. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Lori.